tonight, and I promise you I'll get you out of here before dark. How about that? Of course, it don't get dark at 9 o'clock, man. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm teasing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or am I? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, past few weeks, I've been trying to distinguish between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and trying to explain the differences and how a lot of people just don't understand, and they get them so mixed up, and it hurts them, it does not help them, and there's so much false teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. Hold your finger right there. Put your finger there, and then turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Don't worry, we're not going to read the whole chapter. I wish you'd go home and read the whole chapter, but for sake of time, I hardly ever get to do that. Verse 22 through 26. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. We'll start with Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Then, now that's the gifts. That's the Spirit. See, now that's the Spirit. That's Him. That's His fruit. Love, joy, peace, long. That's Him. I mean, those come from Him. Our nature is not love, joy, peace, and long, all those things. This is His nature, not ours. But it's His nature in us that we feel that way and we do those things. Okay, and I'm going to tell you more about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. Look at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Not fruit. Gifts. Gifts. See the difference? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. In other words, way to carry out your gift. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. In other words, that's how He carries it out through you. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, underline, every man, that means mankind. I don't know why people are so touchy about man, woman stuff. Every man to do what?
Prophet
with all. That means everybody. Not to profit you, but to profit everybody. Now, these are ninefold fruit of the Spirit. There's nine fruits of the Spirit, okay? And that affects how you relate to yourself. You didn't love, now you love. You wasn't long-suffering, now you're long-suffering. You know what I'm saying. And then it's the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's not you, it's Him. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, good meekness. That's Him in you, see. You were rebellious, you were lost, you were in darkness, you were envious, you were jealous. So this is Him in you, working out of you, okay? Maturing you, changing you, and He's working inside of you. Now, it also affects how you relate to people outside of you. His fruit does. I mean, His fruit makes you long-suffering. People say, man, you mighty patient. No, that's Him in you.
Yes.
People say, well, you really are a loving person. No, that's Him in you. God is love.
Amen.
See? So it relates on how you are to you, but it also relates on how you are to others. His fruit. Not your fruit. That's His fruit. And if somebody doesn't have these fruits, or if none of them is recognizable, now I know we're not always joyful and We're not always peaceful. We're not always lovable. But when we allow Him to do, the Bible says, perfect work in us, and that word perfect means mature and grow and fix and change. And so if when we allow Him, then it comes through us, and that's how we treat other people, see. Now, some people get this mixed up. They think, well, that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. No, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's Him in you. That's Him manifesting Himself in you. So they get that mixed up, and they say, well, you got to speak in tongues, and then you have joy. You got to speak in tongues, then you have peace. You got to speak in tongues, you'll become righteous, sanctified, these things. So they get it mixed up, not rightly dividing the word of truth. And hang on, we'll get there in a minute. Now, that's the fruit of the Spirit, okay? That's His fruit. That's Him in. That's how you know you're saved. Did you know? How many of y'all had children? Raise your hand. Grandchildren. How many of you ever had to teach them how to tell a lie? That's their nature. The Adamic nature. How many of you ever had to teach them how to steal? No, that's the. You teach them not to steal. You teach them not to lie. How many of you ever had to teach them to get mad at their brother and sister and get in a fight? No, that's their nature. Now the Holy Spirit comes in, and then His nature takes over as you submit to God. His nature takes over, and then people begin to see Him through you. See? All right? You got me? All right, then we can move on, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to go through all these, you know, but he says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with unto these dumb idols. That means they can't speak. Not that they're stupid, but they can't speak. Even as you were led. Now, verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. And then he goes on and he says, verse 8, which we didn't read. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's what you were praying for, wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. That means understanding spiritual things by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. See, these are things that are not natural to us. He has to give these to us. And to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And we're not going to study all these gifts, but that's another study I may get into. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. The Holy Spirit does all this as He will. You see that? Now he talks about the body being one body and the foot can't say it's not of the body and what on. And talking about the church body, the body of Christ. So, you tell me, why is it that preachers on TV and in pulpits will tell you that you need to seek the gift of the Holy Spirit? It's not. That's not in there. You received the Holy Spirit the day you received Christ. Do you think because you invited Jesus into your life that He personally came into your life? No, His Spirit did. That's the Holy Spirit. He sits on the right hand of the Father. Now, you can submit more to the Holy Spirit and be more full of, that's a term, full of the Holy Spirit for the working in the kingdom of God and the working in the will of God. But for our spiritual gifts, God picks out which one you get. You don't get to pick that out. Well, somebody says, well, I wanted to do this, and I started doing this at church. Well, what does God want you to do? Yeah. Okay? Now, the gifts of the Spirit relate to your conduct, your behavior. What you do is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rachel has a gift of music, I would call it. She's known by her music. Her testimony is her Christian piano music. That's her testimony. She's known by her music. What you are is complemented by who He is and what He's doing through you and in you. See? Now, what we do does not save us. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't go to heaven and say, well, man, I sure am glad I'm here. I'm glad I made it. I heard a woman speak in tongues one time in 15 minutes. No, first, she sang a song that said, I hope I make it. And a few minutes later, she spake in some unknown tongue and said it was God talking. And I thought to myself, well, if God lived in you, you'd know you was going to make it. So undoubtedly, you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He don't live in you. You're not even saved. Because He's the one that gives you the faith. It's in Him. It's faith, His faith in you, that gives you the ability to believe. You wasn't born with that. You were born with rebellion. So the gift is identified by the work that the gift enables. I know that sounds crazy, but let me explain. Okay. A bus driver is a person who drives a what?
Bus.
Wasn't that hard? A farmer is a person that does what?
Farm.
A preacher is somebody that does what?
Preaches.
Boy, ain't this hard. Whatever your gift is means you will never be satisfied doing anything other than the gift that the Holy Spirit has implanted in you. Now, He is in you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith. He's in you. That's always going to be in there. You're going to have to push Him away not to have that coming out of you. And by the way, people that don't have those things, I doubt they're ever saved. Full of hatred and meanness and backbiting and all this stuff. That's not the Holy Spirit. Either they've suppressed Him greatly or they just don't have Him. And I don't care how many churches they've joined. I don't care how many times they got baptized. I don't care if they speak in German and Italian and French all at the same time and make up a heavenly language to go with it. They ain't got nothing to do with it. But the gift that He gives you is what He works out through you, and you're not going to be satisfied doing anything else. That's what's wrong with a lot of our churches. They've decided what gift they got. Well, I have the gift of administration because I work down here at this big factory, and I'm the boss, and I know how to administrate. Well, God don't work down there at that factory. He don't care what you know at the factory. We're talking about the body of Christ. Amen? Now, He may be an administrator, and it talks about that being one of His offices, administration. That means being able to arrange things and help people find out what they're supposed to do and enable them to do those things. But that doesn't mean that the guy that runs the mayor's office ought to be that in the church. But that's the mistake we make. Especially Baptist churches. Most deacon votes ain't nothing but popularity contests. Say amen right there. Well, this guy knows how to make money. We need to make him a deacon. That's not one of the qualifications. And by the way, it's never in there this gal ought to be made deacon. Did I say that? And I'm not against gals. I got a wonderful wife and I got three wonderful daughters. My mama was a gal. And I loved them all. Amen. I love them all. I had sisters. Amen. And there's some wonderful women in church, and some of them got a lot more sense than some guys. But I don't determine who gets the office or does the office. God puts that gift in you. You'll never be satisfied. If they make you a preacher, well, I'm talking about men and women now. We're talking about Beth Moores and all that, Joyce Myers and all that stuff. If they make you, if somebody appoints you as a preacher or a pastor and God didn't put that gift in you, you're going to be miserable all your life trying to fulfill that gift because it's not in you. He didn't put that in you. So you're going to have to either fake it or hate it. There's a lot of faking going on.
Yeah.
That includes men too. Preaching's a gift. Preaching's a gift. And I've seen a lot of men said there's preachers, and I'll be honest with you, I never would have told them, and I won't tell you their names, but they did not have the gift. I can tell you that. But only God knows what He gives you to do. He said there's diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, showing forth of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit with all. That means everybody. God gives us gifts in the church to help everybody else in the church. And if everybody's a preacher, nobody's getting any help. And if everybody's a Sunday school teacher, nobody's getting help. If everybody's a deacon, nobody's getting help. If everybody is the treasurer, we're going to be broke. But that's the problem in our churches, Brother Ron. We have people in positions of authority that should not be there because God did not give them that gift. Mama, we used to say when I was going to Bible college, we kind of made, I know we wasn't supposed to, but God forgave us, you know. Kind of made fun of some guys. We say he was Mama called and Daddy sent. And then others we'd say, he just went. But if God called, you might have to do it. I struggled with the calling for over a year. Because I knew I was wrong where God was one. I argued for a year. But finally, I gave in, and now I love it. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I don't like big crowds. My wife tell you, I'm not a socializer. I never have found a good preacher. It was, to be honest with you, unless, you know, you'll be influenced by people and things like that. But I love to preach. I love to preach. I've been to preachers' meetings where I tell you what, when I was going to Bible college at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in York, we had to go on Wednesday night. And we had to do a church there. And we had about six of us preachers sitting there, and Pastor Smith called on this old boy. He said, "You want to preach tonight?" And it scared him dead. It shot him. He said, "I'm not prepared." He looked at me and said, "Brother Ron, you want to do it?" I said, "I'm always prepared. Let me up there." And I preach. And go to these meetings, you know, and you'll go. And some guy get up at the pulpit, you know, and he'll say, Well, I ought not even. I really shouldn't be preaching tonight. I really. I want to say, shut up and sit down. I'll preach. I got plenty to say. Amen. But that ain't me normally. You ask my wife. I'm not a real talkative person. I'm not a real socializer. Old Jason Coley was like that. The man was almost a hermit, but he loved to preach. He had the gift of preaching. But if we do anything else, we're going to be out of God's will, and it's not going to feel good. Not going to feel good. Now, I'm not talking about tongues and all this stuff. When it talks about that stuff, by the way, it's talking about other languages, not unknown language. It's unknown to the hearer if they don't understand it. But it's not talking about some heavenly gibberish that's not in the Bible. On the day of Pentecost, there were people from 9 different nations there. And this is what they said. We heard them in our own tongue. So when Peter was preaching, did he preach 9 languages? No. But 9 different kinds of people heard him in their own language. And then the other 4 or 5 accounts. Several times it was done for the Jews that were present so that they could see that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit that they had. And it took a sign. And Jesus said, the Jews seeketh after a sign. And so they saw the sign, so God gave them a sign. Said, these people's part of the family of Abraham now. Here's your sign. And you go past Acts chapter 5, you're not going to see the sign anymore. And in Acts chapter 5, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they preached the word with great boldness. There's your sign. So we're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about the body of Christ and what it takes to run it. Number one, you have to have a regenerated membership. They've been born again by the Spirit of God by repentance and faith in Christ. And then once they're born again, the Holy Spirit moves in them, and He begins to work, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the temperance, all those things are beginning to work inside their mind and their heart, and it's beginning to come out their mouth, and they grow in the Lord, and then the Lord says, I got a place to put you. And He puts you there. Real gifts are given to serve others. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. You turn on these TV preachers and they say speak in this unknown tongue to have this ecstatic experience, and it'll be a life-changing experience, and it's a wonderful thing, and you'll feel good, and you'll be happy. Well, that ain't what it's for. The gifts of the Spirit are not for that. 1 Peter chapter 4. There yet? Look at verse 10 and 11. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for others and for the glory of God. And you find these super Christians that say they got all these gifts and they don't do a stinking thing for anybody but themselves. And they go to church and they sing and they dance and they say, boy, we worship today. And you say, who was there? And they say, I don't know. I used to work with a boy, pitiful, biblically ignorant boy. I worked out here at the nuclear plant. That would scare you right there. That would get you right with God. Ron Roddy helped build the nuclear plant. I was a young Christian, just starting out, and that old boy went to the Church of God of Prophecy on Cawthon Street. Some of y'all might know that old building. It ain't Church of God no more. But he'd come to work one day, and he'd tell how he got drunk and got in a fight and all this stuff. And I said, I thought you were saved. He said, I wasn't saved then, but I went to church, got resaved Sunday. Yeah. Them other boys, them old hippies and dope heads, look at him and scratch their head. And then one day he came in, he'd come in sometime, tell stories about church. He came in, he said, oh, during break time, he said, you ought to have been at church yesterday. God came down. I said, He did. He said, yeah. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we got the singing and going on, and the Holy Ghost fell, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know how to say Holy Ghost, you know. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I don't know what happened after that, except I run up this aisle and down that aisle, and I ran out the door and ran around the building and came back in and ran to the front and fell, passed out on the altar. Didn't wake up till the end of the service. I said, let me ask you something. He said, what? I said, did anybody get saved because of what you did? He said, no, I don't think so. I said, anybody get right with God because of what you did? He said, I don't think so. I said, can you tell me what scripture the preacher used? He said, I don't know. I never heard it. I said, God wasn't in what you did. That was all you. That was all about you. You had a good time. You enjoyed what you did. But it wasn't about others. Now, don't tell me you got a gift of spirit if you ain't using it for others. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because He tells us right here. That's why He gives us the gifts of the Spirit. It's for others and for the glory of God, not our glory. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. You ain't mad at me, are you? That's okay. It don't really matter. I'll just... trying to keep you awake. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Luke verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Underline this. Who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God's call is all about God enabling, not you. God, hey, listen, little as much of God is in it. Amen? He said, if you're faithful in little things, I'll give you more to do. And if we're faithful in what He's given us to do, then He'll give us more to do. And He said, we can have several gifts. The problem is, most Baptists are not faithful in the least of the gifts. But it's God's calling, so God enables. A fellow told me one time, said, you need to come to our church, and we speak in tongues. Isn't it funny those people never talked to me until after I said I got saved? I'd walk in Shepherd's Fold after I got saved, man, and say, peace, have you received the gift? What gift? Y'all giving away something? Every time I went for 20 years, have you received the gift? And after I learned more about it, one day I told him, I said, yeah, I did. The day I was saved, March the 5th, 1978, I received the gift of eternal life. And with the package came the gift of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'm full of the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in language boldly the gospel of Christ. He got so ill at me that anybody from my church that went in that store, they'd say, I want to buy a Bible. And he'd say, what kind? And they'd say, well, first he'd introduce them to the newest new on sale special version, you know. And then they kept saying, King James, King James. He'd say, where do you go to church? And they'd tell him, he'd say, oh, you won't look at nothing but that corner right over there. That's all you'll look at right over there, those few right over there. Had that big store full of Bibles, and all he had was a little corner of King James, you know. And then he got to where he'd ask him, first thing he'd ask him, he'd say, where you go to church at? So he can save himself a lot of talking, I think. But let me tell you something. If God gives you a gift, He will enable you to use it for His glory and others' good. It's not for you to do it. And get cold chill bumps all over you. That ain't what it's all about. I've had chill bumps. I ain't speaking unknown tongues. Well, actually, I do. These Michigan Yankees, New York Yankees, and all we got coming now, everything I say is unknown tongue to them. They sit there and look at me and say, what are you saying? We need an interpreter. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Quick, y'all listening too slow. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Second Corinthians, preacher, I wouldn't talk like that. I know that's why He gave me the gift and not you. Amen. Amen. Second Corinthians 10, 4. I'm just picking at y'all. Y'all know what I mean. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means you can't hold them in your hand, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we need gifts from God to be in this battle. We need them. And God gives us the different gift that we need for our personal battle. And everybody doesn't need what you need. And everybody doesn't need the gift to serve Him where He has put you, because He's not putting you where He put them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say it back to me. I can't. We need them for the battle. We can't fight successfully. We can't serve successfully with the talents of the flesh. He just got through saying that. They're not carnal. We can't, Brother Mary, we can't serve God carnally. The first thing, when I announced my call to preach and I'd have a job, you know, and the first thing somebody would ask me is, where did you go to seminary? That's the first thing people would ask me. And I'd say, well, I ain't never been to seminary. I'm going to this little Bible college over here. Everything I heard about seminary, they kill you faith. Yeah. Or they'd say, where did you go to college? Or they'd say, What denominational thing do you belong to? You see, they're talking about carnal, fleshly warfare. We're in a spiritual war, buddy. This spiritual battle. Things we can't even see. And we don't know what's coming at us. God knows. So God equips us. He calls us into certain areas of this world to do job. Maybe He called you to teach. Maybe He called you to preach. Maybe He called you to be a soul winner. Maybe He called you to edify people with music. Maybe He called you to exhort or testify, or whatever the case may be. That's your area. God gave that to you for your area of the battle. We need good administrators. If you're going to have a church that's going to last, thank God this one going on 13 years old. When will we be 13? September 10th. And God has sent what we needed. Money, people, administrators. God's done that. We ain't sold no donuts. Ain't going to. Not long as I'm here. Come on, help me. We had a soul barbecue one time to buy a sign. Didn't we buy a sign with that money? Yeah, Everett made the barbecue and we sold it. But that was more work than it was worth. We probably could have just asked God to give us the money straight out. But we didn't know. But I'm telling you, Brother Ron, you're in a battle I'm not in. He's going to equip you, call you, give you the gift you need to fight a battle for Him that nobody else is fighting. They can't. Excuse me, my sinuses. But we can't do it with the flesh. You know, I say I got kicked out of school in 10th grade. They sent a letter to my house. My mama met me in the driveway with it one day after I cut school. But what it was, I just quit going. I was out of school 90 days. And they sent a letter. Well, I'd go every once in a while in the 90 days. I'd drop in for English every once in a while or geography or history. I never dropped in on math. Never, never, never. Or algebra. No, no, no. I remember showing up one time after I'd been out of school. I just, by myself, at first it was with others, you know, but then I got where I just didn't like to go to school, so I'd get in my old car and ride down the river, stay at the river all day. But anyway, I showed up at school after about 30 days of not being there, and I went in a science class, and I'll never forget, that's when LSD was just first becoming popular, and there was two boys, one there and one right behind me. Both of them was tripping that day. And they said, "Man, you ready?" It was a test. They said, "You ready for this?" I said, "No." And one behind me said, "Can we copy yours?" I said, "Boy, you need to get off that stuff. I ain't been here in 30 days." And I caught him looking over my shoulder. It was multiple choice, and I was doing whichever one tangled the most. That's what Gomer did when he took that marine test. Y'all remember when Gomer took the marine test? He threw his finger like that. Whichever one tingled enough, A, B, or C. Anyway, they finally kicked me out. But I loved to read. I loved history. I loved to read. I loved to study. I didn't appear near as dumb as I appear now. But my wife told me one day after we had kids, she said, "Now, the kids are going to junior high or something, and you keep telling them they need to finish school. You never did it. So you need to go get your GED. And I went and got it. It was a breeze. It was a breeze. No. Let me tell you something. Well, I went to Bible college. But let me tell you something. Worldly education will not make you biblically literate. I'm not against education. My wife has a master's degree. My daughters have master's degrees. I'm the dumbest one in the house. But I'm telling you, you can't do the work of God in the flesh And nobody can appoint you to the work of God. God's got to do that. And what's wrong with our churches today is we've hired professional people to manage and run the churches and run the music and run the finances and run the pulpit. And they're doing it in the flesh. So you know what that produces? More flesh. So why are you surprised when it's such a mess in those churches? What happened to the old hillbilly preacher? Barely could read and write. He got somebody to read the Bible to him, and he'd memorize it. Just stand up there and act like he was reading it, but he wasn't. He was just quoting it, memorize it. And people get saved up and down the hillside. People get right with God. God fall, you know, and things happen. Amen? Because, I'm not against reading and writing. I'm all for it. I think preachers ought to be the best read people in the building. I think they ought to be the best read in the Bible and history and things like that. But you don't depend on that to do the work of God. I better go on. 1 Timothy 4:14. We about done. 1 Timothy 4:14. I told you I was going to get you out of here before dark. 1 Timothy 4:14. Look at it. We're just studying the Bible. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. In other words, the church laid their hands on him and sent him out as a preacher because they recognized his gift. Blessed Oak Baptist Church, after I was preaching a year, wrote me a license for the ministry of preaching. Now, the state don't require a license. But churches do that to say, we believe this young man's called to preach, and we support his calling. A year, a little bit over a year later, they ordained me to pastor. I was pastoring a little old church, and they ordained me to pastor. Now, the state don't check that. That's not turned into the state or anything. But it's the local body of Christ saying, we believe this man has the gift of pastoring. The other one was the gift of preaching. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Now, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, I hope I'm not boring you. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That's the Apostle Paul laid hands on Timothy and said, look, I want you to stir it up. 2 Timothy 1:6. I'm sorry, did I say first? Well, I get so excited, I'm like a young preacher again. 2 Timothy 1:6, I'm going to read it again since I confused you. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the what? That's the same gift that we just read. The gift of preaching, in his case. Okay? Now, we've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order to serve others in the kingdom of God. And if you're not doing it to serve others, then I doubt if God has given you the gift. Because that's what it's all about. I don't preach for me. I can stay home and read and preach to me, you know. Hurry, y'all not listening fast enough. So my question tonight is to these people that claim they got this gift and they got that gift and they speak in unknown languages, and they got prophecy, and they're apostolic and all this stuff, you know. My question to you is, where'd you get that gift? Where'd you get that? If it disagrees with the Word of God, God didn't give it to you. It's fleshly. It's carnal. And then on the other hand, we as Christians, we all have gifts. What are we doing with it? Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance. I'm talking about the gift that God has given you and said, now I'm going to give you this gift of speaking or teaching or administration or music or whatever. And God gives you that gift, that talent. What are you doing with it? You say, well, I done got too old. Moses didn't start till he was 80. How old are you? He spent 40 years in the wilderness by himself. How young you got to be? And then others said, that, well, I'm too young. Well, Samuel, God called Samuel when he was about 10 years old. Called David when he was about 14. Well, I'm too old. I'm too young. No, you're just making excuses because you don't want to do the gift that God's given you. Or you used to do it and you've let it get cold and you don't want to stir it up because you know if you stir it up, then you're going to start doing things again and I'm just too tired. No, no, that's not it. It just interrupts your plan. That's all. You think Brother Ron, what he's going through, he don't get too tired. His own flesh, you think it don't bother that flesh that he goes over and preaches? You think Tom, who's doing good, but he struggles when he preaches. He struggles. There's a lot of grunting and groaning. Sometimes feel sorry for him. I think the boy's going to have a heart attack. He just grunts. He just, That's the way he preaches sometimes. No, it says groanings which cannot be uttered, okay? Don't use. That's what them tongue talkers say. That's the groan. No, it says which cannot be uttered, okay? And you're going, And I want to say, help him, Lord. You ever felt like that while he's preaching? Come on, tell the truth. I'm sitting there going. It's getting better.
Yeah.
You think he ain't never wanted to say, well, I ain't good at this, I'm going to quit.
All the time.
Sure, sure. But it's a gift in him. It's not him. So as long as he surrenders to the gift that's in him, he'll work through the grunting and the groaning. And pretty soon he'll be one of those articulate preachers. So what we're going to do with what we got? We're going to use it for the glory of God and others. And you know what happened? God will get the glory and we'll get a blessing. Alright, that's my Bible study. If you're not saved, that meant absolutely nothing to you because you don't have the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. And Ephesians 1 says, ye who were dead in trespass and sin hath he quickened. Now, if you're dead, you can't understand live stuff. So you need to get born again.
Amen.
But if you are saved, you knew what I was talking about tonight, didn't you? If you knew what I was talking about, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand. Father,